Welcome to Interceptor Beyond podcast. My name is Arthur, and today we have Hippie Death Cult. And today I talk to Eddie. The interview was recorded on 22nd of November, 2023. And finally, I got to edit this while I'm on holiday. And yeah, it was great. It was a great interview. It was great seeing, talking to Eddie. It was great to hear and see the live performance of the Hippie Death Cult. The evening was amazing. The show was amazing. And everything was great. I mean, it was freaking awesome. It was recorded at Arena. The show was at Arena. It was great. I mean, I have nothing to add. Fucking awesome. This is the last interview of 2023. And thanks to all the bands that participated in the interviews, all the people behind the scenes of those bands, the management, PR agencies, friends, whatever. Thank you very much. Another intense year, and I'm glad that Hippie Death Cult was the last episode of this year. It's awesome to end with a banger. Well, anyways, before we continue with the interview, don't forget to follow this podcast on any platform of your choice. Leave a rating and follow the podcast on Instagram at Interceptor Beyond, blah, blah, blah. All that shit. Subscribe, hit like. Anyways, let's talk to Eddie.
Absolutely. This is Eddie Brennabic from Hippie Death Cult.
Eddie, we last time we recorded was like 1 year ago at Viper Room. It was, I think, September or something like this. Do you remember?
I was September or October, one of the two.
Our recording session last time was like the perfect setup because we were outside on the table. It was dark, super quiet. The sound was going all way. No echoes or anything like this. You were super cool. You know? It's one of my favorite interviews. I keep reminding it and telling people about it, you know, because for me it was really important. You know?
It was really fun. Yeah, it was really great to meet you last time we were here. I had a fun.
Yeah, and you played really awesome. I remember it was fucking awesome. So, all right, let's come back to reality, right?
Sure.
So 1 year ago, I know because I did research, there's a lot of stuff happened. So sure. Let's start with the basic one, the lineup change.
Sure.
What's up with that?
You're talking about our drummer switch?
I don't know. Is there something more?
Yeah, no, that was the, since you've seen us, that's the last one.
Actually, I think we recorded in October, let's pretend at least. And then 2 months later, that there was, when you came back home, there was a change.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how much I want to talk about it publicly because I don't want to say the wrong thing.
We don't need to go like in detail why or something like this.
Sure.
No problem, man, about that. But just to introduce the guy, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So now we've got an incredible drummer. His name's Harry Silvers on board. We've known him for years. We've been friends with him for a long time and fans of his drumming. And when we needed a new drummer, it was kind of a no-brainer, you know, to have him come in and try out and practice with us and see how it went.
From the same region?
Yeah, he's from Portland also.
Are you still based in Portland?
Yeah, we're still based in Portland, but we're all over the place. You know, we've been touring like crazy. We're all still based in Portland. We just got like a new headquarters there that's really cool. And the chemistry's been on fire between the three of us. So we've just been going with it, and it's been really fun.
All right, but two things. Okay, you said new headquarters. You mean like a studio?
Yeah.
All right, so, totally. I think last time you... What was the name of the studio when you recorded? 3-8 some what?
What was it? It was 111. It was like, yeah, it was like our, yeah.
Whatever, right?
Yeah.
So what about the new headquarters? Because you mentioned that new headquarters, it's important. What is it?
Well, we had, for the last several months, we were kind of like, it's actually really hard to find a good spot in Portland to practice.
Why?
There's not a lot of facilities, and the ones that are more common are just not the best, like best quality or like the biggest, you know, they're basically like just particle board rooms. There's no soundproofing. They're very small. We were kind of stuck in one of those for several months just to have a place to play. And I mean, we were grateful to have a place to play, but.
But you know, for me from outside, you know, thinking like Portland, you know, this is like a place where it's like an iconic place. It should be like filled with high quality shit.
Yeah, you know? There's a lot of high quality bands there, but there's not a lot of high quality like places to practice. You know, it's good. You got to really kind of find a diamond in the rough there, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, recently, like a few months ago, we had an opportunity to get a really nice place. It's got windows and it's got like...
Do you need windows?
You don't need windows, but it's nice. You know, like the last place was like a room within a room with no ventilation whatsoever. It was hot as fuck. Yeah.
Classic practice. Yeah.
It's nice to have some fucking fresh air, you know? Not necessary, but nice. And a lot more space. And it's always been a problem for us, like, to where we keep our merchandise. Like, when we're not on the road, just all the boxes and of everything, because we all live in tight quarters and don't really have room to put it. So we... been throwing it here and there in this guy's garage and asking friends and whatever. And now we have like a place where we can keep all the merch and practice. And it's kind of like a whole headquarters kind of place now. And
it's I mean, it's really important. So, yeah. So you have everything there. You like, how did you find it?
A friend of ours, Juan Carlos, from the band Tigers on Opium. They're really good friends of
ours. I know the band. Oh, yeah. I know the band. I know the band.
Yeah, they're
shout out to the band.
Hell yeah, they're a great band, and they're all really great friends of ours also. And yeah, he got hip to this place that was opening up, and he asked us. There's literally only like two or three rehearsal places in the whole thing, and then the rest of it is a recording studio. And he reached out to us, luckily, and we jumped on it. You know, so yeah,
totally. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool to have like some stability in that regard. It's great.
Really nice.
All right, so headquarters, right? Okay, we got this, right? So there's a checklist in my head, you know? All right. So Harry, Dirty Harry,
yeah.
Right? Okay, so you know him for some time, right? He wrote, he was on the record with you, right?
He was on the record, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, like I first actually started jamming with Harry like during the pandemic, like early on in the pandemic, after the initial lockdown, where everybody was not able to leave their houses for whatever it was, 2 months or whatever, I couldn't get anybody in Hippie Death Cult to show up to practice. And I was like, nobody had to work. Nobody was there. I was like, let's fucking work on music and jam. You know, we're just sitting around all day. But yeah, nobody really wanted to get together and do things. So I was talking with Harry and he's like, I can't get my band to jam either, you know? And so he's like, I'm like, fuck it, let's just start jamming. And we would get together almost every day and just plug in and no agenda, just jam, you know? And that's when I realized, you know, like there was some chemistry there and he had expressed interest in playing with me or us or whatever, you know, at that time also. And that was, you know, a couple years ago. So yeah, like again, that was one of the reasons that we reached.
When the time came, it was perfect situation and proof with it.
Yeah, totally.
How is it for Harry? I mean, where did he play before?
He was playing in a band called Robots of the Ancient World, which is another great band from Portland. We've been friends with them for years, and yeah, so yeah, that's how we met him, was through them, and he's been playing with them for, I think, 2 or 3 years. I think he started when he was like 18 or something when he joined that band.
Drums and stuff always?
Drums, yeah. And he also, like on the recordings, he was doing some other percussion and I think he played some organ and he does this cool thing on guitar called gliss. And he's been trying to teach me how to do it, but I'm not as good as he is at it.
A little bit explained to me because I don't know what
it is. Yeah, it's like... we've been using drumsticks, but it's some kind of stick, and the way you just kind of rub the strings, and if you move it across the neck, you can play different notes, and it like sustains almost like an e-bow. It's like almost like a violin kind of, but I don't know. It's really
Jimmy
weird.
Page.
It's kind of a Jimmy Page thing. And then, oh man, what's that guy's name? Steve Hilliage, I think his name is, the guitar player that used to use it a lot from the band Gong. I think that's his main inspiration on that, but he's really good at doing it. So, yeah. So anyways, I think he was doing a bit of that in that band on the recordings and stuff. And he played a little bit on this album too.
Which song? Can you remember?
Yeah. It's on Tomorrow's Sky and it's very faint, but it's almost going through the whole song. Like,
For us to check it out.
You know? Yeah. You can hear it at the very, very beginning of it. And then once everything kicks in, it's there, but it's like you have to really listen for it. And he thought he was just doing it in the beginning for the very start of the song, but we never hit stop. And he's just like looking at me like, when the fuck do you want me to stop? You know, I'm like, no, do the whole fucking song, dude. Oh,
this is perfect. That's the magic. That's how it's going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he's just sitting there for like 7 minutes just going, you know, But yeah, it turned out cool.
Yeah.
And it's one of those little just like hidden... nuggets. That's kind of
dude. Like the album is fucking awesome.
Oh, thank you.
So yeah. No,
glad you like it.
For real. I think it's like it's different and beyond.
Wow. Okay.
I would say like this. It's different from your previous stuff.
Sure.
I mean, we have Laura singing like yeah. more extensive. You're doing your crazy shit with the guitar even more. Like,
sure.
Total Annihilator is like, this is like a fucking awesome, you
right
know?
On.
Like, I fucking love it. If you're going to play it live tonight, you're going to destroy the crowd, man.
Cool, right on.
No, the whole album is, the Harris drumming is amazing. Like, the whole album is really cool. It's really, 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 really
awesome.
Cool. Really cool, really cool, really cool. I really like it. I'm not joking. I really like it. Cool. I want to see you play it live because we're recording before the show.
I think we're going
to
be playing the whole album probably tonight because the opening band that was supposed to play with us, Omega Sun, had to bow out because they all woke up with COVID today. So
I wanted to interview them also.
Yeah.
But yeah, shout out to Omega Sun.
Absolutely.
They're also a really cool band from Slovenia.
Great band. We played with them last year in Ljubljana. And yeah, they're great guys, great band. We're sad that they're not going to be able to make it. But
shit happens. Shit happens.
Shit happens. So I think we're going to play like an extended set tonight. So we'll probably end up doing the whole album. Yeah.
Nice. Whoa. But with Omega Sun, I will, when they come to Vienna again, I will interview them. So
absolutely.
Yes.
I'm sure you'll have another opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I checked out social media regarding the new album.
Yeah.
What I noticed, the magic words, analog as fuck.
Sure. Right.
Sure. So tell me, like, what about the production? What was it?
Well, we were really fortunate this time around with recording. So the first two albums that we recorded, we were just using equipment that I had, like just computer stuff, you know, Pro Tools, but like limited budget, like basically no budget. So we're just using kind of like my own interface and computer and doing the best with what we could. But during the past couple of years, we've been hanging out at this studio. It's called 8-4 Studio in Portland. And I've become really close with Ben Barnett, who owns it. We've become like best friends, honestly. And I've been, you know, we recorded some demos there last year before we did the European tour that turned out really cool. And this studio just, it has all the equipment that I've ever dreamed of using. It's an old like API board, analog board, all the Neve, you know,
from 70s probably.
Yeah,
60s.
Maybe I'm not sure, but it has just that analog warm sound. You know, the option to record to tape, which we did with that song "Nice to Know You" that we recorded last year.
Yeah.
This time around, we didn't record to tape because we didn't need to. Like, it's already had that analog sound just going through all
through
the tubes.
Board and all the stuff.
Yeah. So like, just the microphones that he has and the preamps and the board and all of that stuff. And he's got a really great engineer that's like the in-house know-it-all guy, Jeremy Romagna, who's been around to help us, you know, but they basically, they just gave us free reign of that studio and like, you know, all the time we needed to do what we needed to do. And when they were there just to help when we needed it and just very supportive and awesome and knowledgeable, both of them. So yeah, like the process was basically like recording when Harry was doing his drums, we all played live together with him, and then we went back and recorded all of our other parts separate. But basically, we were going from instruments to the preamps to the board, and then into a computer, and so it was captured on the computer. But then when we mixed it, it went back out from the computer to the board, and it was mixed live on the board.
Oh, so that's how you did it.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a lot of tubes and transistors and analog things going on.
Analog as fuck.
Yeah,
exactly.
But
tubes are the shit.
Yeah, and also like as far as, you know, using the term analog, also like we didn't manipulate the sounds. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like there's so many options with, especially with recording to Pro Tools or Logic, to like manipulate things to like perfect them or whatever. Like
quantization, man.
Yeah.
Did you quantize some shit?
We didn't quantize anything. There might have been some chopping, like there might have been like a couple takes. Oh, this part, Harry did this part better. Let's, you know, pop that in type of thing. But no, there's no like manipulating, like there was no, what do you call it, auto-tune or any of that shit. It's all us, you know, playing.
I was afraid that you're going to say, we did some auto-tune. I would fucking murder you right now. Like, keep your death call doing auto-tune, I would die, man.
No, there's no auto-tune. It's really important to us to have that raw sound, you know?
And you have it on the album, you have it on the record, you know? Like, what I like, I know when the music works, when I get the feel beyond the music, you know? Like,
cool.
when it opens, like, sonic environment, imagination environment, you know, like when I listen to the music and I don't even listen to the music, I experience like the world.
Sure.
You know, like that's how I got it, you know, like I have goosebumps right now.
Wow.
Like good shit. No, I'm telling you, like I'm not joking, man. It's good shit. Good. It's good, good shit, you know. Before I forget, like, okay, you got all this freedom, right, with all the equipment. Did you, you know, there's always a chance that you will get lost in it, you know,
absolutely.
Like so many opportunities to do and you forget who you are, you know,
like
in your voice and stuff.
We definitely had limits and we had time limits.
Some limits are always important.
Some limits, you know, especially because with the label, you know, with the schedule of when we wanted it to come out, it had to be done by a certain date, which I think was June, end of May or something like that. So there were time limits as far as recording and mixing, like, you know. So, I mean, with mixing especially, you could go on forever. And like you said, just forget about where you started and it could it become like a whole thing. And honestly, I've done that in the past. And I go back and I'm like, shit, I think I've fucked it up. You know what I mean? Like I've gone too far.
The energy went a little bit away.
Totally. And also letting too many people have opinions about it, you know?
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing about going, the voice is going away, you know? Energy, voice, vision.
Like on our last album for Circle of Days in particular, like I had done some mixes and then let everybody in the band hear it. And then I got everybody's feedback, which was pretty much like, I want to hear myself louder from everybody. So I was like mixing to please, trying to please everybody rather than mixing to do a proper mix that I thought was proper, you know.
Dude, you're going through like the thing, like the bands, like you know, like the first album they do, like not commercially, but pleasing everybody in a way. And then when it works out, the second album is like, this is the real sound of our band.
Sure.
You know?
And that's kind of how I feel with this album. Like it's like I said, it's we wanted to capture the tones and the sounds very naturally so that we didn't have to manipulate, even do too much EQ or whatever, like just have it. So we spent a lot of time before we even got into the studio dialing in our tones, like just our amps and how does this, you know, this amp and this pedal sound with his drums and how his drums are tuned and Laura's tone. Like we spent a lot of time doing that before we went in so that it was like, it was pretty much, let's just try and capture what we already have going, you know? And then, like I said, having limitations on time for mixing and, you know, and money too. Like, you know, like just the time in the studio, like they were very generous and like really cool with us cause they're homies, but we still had to pay, you know, and we don't have a ton of money, so we can't go on forever, you know?
How long were you in the studio?
Oh man. I think like total, it was a month or just over a month, including mixing.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, so it was quite a bit. Yeah. And I was there the whole time, you know, because I was there for the drums and for the bass and for the guitars and vocals. And
did you manage to experiment on something that you always wanted to do, like something that you like? Okay, finally, I can do this on this album. Like, if you maybe, I mean, I know that you have a collection of riffs and stuff that you constantly compose stuff, but maybe it's something that you're like, okay, maybe with this equipment I can do this and that. Or
I'm trying to think if there was anything out of the ordinary.
Maybe it's nothing ordinary, but for the people outside, that's like just the way it sounds is already like not ordinary. No?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like just like we already mentioned, just doing the album in this way with this equipment was that.
I call it like you plug a soul to the amp, you know, and that's it.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
The best way how you can record it.
Totally, and like I said, having Ben and Jeremy around just for their input and knowledge, you know, because usually it's just me. And sometimes you can drive yourself crazy with making decisions on things, like minor decisions, especially if it's just you. You're like, is this good? But like just to have somebody else's opinion around, you know,
they helped with that stuff.
They did, you know, and especially Jeremy with the engineering and placement of mics and, you know, he's been recording for years and years. So, I mean, I have too, and so has Ben. We all have. So we had all this knowledge going in. And so there was cool. Everybody had different ideas, and you're going to come up with something good, you know, when you have all these people with all that knowledge.
But there's only like this border of how much of opinion of everybody, like from the last
time,
you know, it's a border or something. Where's the...
But
I think I don't know what you did, but you figured it out, I think, with this album.
Yeah, we're really happy with how it came out.
Reviews are good. Everybody likes it. I think the crowd will love it also, live. I mean, Like I've seen you live, sure. So I know that like it's you're a fucking killer. So
it's amazing. It's been going over really well. And you know the album just came out, so
yeah.
So we just in October.
So like there's still a lot of people at the shows that don't even know the songs yet, or like especially in Europe, like a lot of European crowds, they come out to just check out the band, but don't necessarily know what we're you know. So but everybody's been leaving happy and buying the vinyls and asking for. Pictures and autographs.
Because you do your fucking awesome shit, man. I've seen you on stage, of course. Especially, I told everybody like who were like standing outside that you should come close to the stage.
Sure.
Because when you feel like the energy from all the people, and like sure. Last time I was there, I was like, yeah. Oh, this was amazing.
Right man. On, yeah. Oh,
fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, right on.
All right, so album release, right? So the plan right now is you're gonna tour, promote this album, right?
Yeah.
Do you have something? I mean, I usually ask about the plans and stuff,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
Right. But you just like the album just came out.
Sure.
Like, I don't know what to ask you regarding.
So yeah, I mean, we want to push it as much as we can. Yeah. We have limited resources right now, like as far as exposure, and also I'll be frank, we don't have any money to do like say music videos or or like ads or anything to push it beyond like the organic. Posting on Instagram and Facebook and shit like that. So we're going to go back and I do a little bit of video and video editing and stuff like that.
Yeah, you do good shit. I've seen your photographs and then the video. I know you.
Okay. Stuff, yeah. So I'm probably going to try and throw something together just over the winter to keep the awareness.
Do more with the lens where it's like a hexagonal totally, because nobody has that, you know,
the prism and all that shit. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll probably do a video or two if we can. I was thinking about maybe even compiling a bunch of live footage and tour footage and stuff and just making some sort of video like that. I want to just keep the awareness of the album going as much as we can with what we have, with what we can do. I might do some guitar playthrough things or some drum playthrough things for people.
Yeah, try it out. Yeah, definitely. Like because I know that you're technically like really cool, right? If you can do it, like to explain some stuff that you do.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I know that your level is high, so for somebody to learn that would be really cool.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool, and people have expressed, you know, that they want me to do stuff like that. So I'm gonna explore that. We're not gonna be touring a whole lot during the winter just because it sucks to tour in the winter.
You know, I interviewed the Melvins and they said we never tour in the winter. Fuck that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
totally.
Only in on summer.
We're gonna be doing like a big. Homecoming show in Portland when we get back from Europe to celebrate the album and stuff. I think honestly our plan is to start working on new material over the winter. We have a lot of stuff like ideas brewing and we've never had the time to, you know, obviously we just got done with this record, so we haven't had the time to really start, you know, writing together. And I know we're all really excited to do that, especially Harry because he'll be here from ground zero, you know, like whereas coming in from the last record, a lot of the stuff was already written, you know, and I mean, he most certainly put his own stamp on it and made his own choices and made it what it is, you know, but I know he's really excited to be a part of something from like the ground zero thing. So we're excited about that. And we want to get a head start on that because as soon as the spring and summer hits, we're going to be back on the road like crazy again. We're coming back to Europe again. I'm going to be doing like maybe a 2-month tour here and going to the UK even and everywhere that'll have us, try to hit every festival that'll have us and do all that. And then when we get back, we're going to do a giant North American tour across Canada and, you know.
Professional.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Of course, man.
So just going for it, you know, as much as we can. So yeah, we're.
Yeah, that's how we should do it, actually. You know,
yeah.
I have nothing to say against it. No, it's like really, sure. Like, yeah. Because usually, like, sometimes I, like, interview bands, so it's like, what's the new album's coming out or whatever. It's like, maybe half a year. I mean,
right.
Yeah, of course, physically it's hard, but it kind of feels like they're, like, drifting a little bit.
You know? Sure. It's hard, you know. It's really hard for bands, especially underground bands, because... You know, it's hard to keep it sustainable, like financially, you know, and
there's no money, man.
So yeah,
it's only like life and merch.
So
and that's
people
it.
Exactly. So well, most people, you know, we have to work day jobs and whatever, so it takes longer to get things done, and you know, it's limited. Like it's limited for touring. It's limited. It's limiting for a lot of things for a lot of people, and we're just kind of like fuck it, we're just going for it. Like, we're willing to just be broke and just do this.
Yeah, sacrifice, man. A lot of sacrifice for the shit that you believe in.
Yeah. And so that's pretty much what we're doing. Everybody in the band's on board with that kind of mentality. And we all believe in what we're doing, and we love it. And, you know, even at the level we're at, we love it. And it would be nice if it's a little more sustainable, you know what I mean? But you know, that's what we're working towards, you know what I mean?
I mean, you never know. Maybe it will hit to a certain point. I mean,
exactly. It takes time.
Especially people see that you're working hard and the music is good, and you just need to push, man. That's
sure.
it. That's
yep.
it. That's
just keep it. Going.
You know that. You've been in LA, you were living in the car, and
I've been going for a long time.
All right. That's a good, that's like a good motivation. It's like, actually the whole interview is like a motivation or like an expectation, you know, like to keep on the road and continue doing. Which song from the new album should I put at the end of the interview?
Toxic Annihilator.